Hi, this is Connie, and welcome to Class 3 in Module 2 of Slow Down and Tune In, which is all about how to build a loving relationship with yourself. A loving relationship between you and you. This is going to be a beautiful flow-on from our previous class, which encouraged you to look a little bit deeper at your relationship with your body, which is sort of a starting point to self-love and to be able to hold space for your own emotions, listen more deeply to what's arising for you, and support yourself through it. But today's class is really looking at this relationship with yourself, and we're going to look a little bit deeper at self-connection, self-care, and how you support yourself as well. So I have my notes up, I have your workbook up, and let's dive into the class today. All right, what we're going to cover today is what it means to practice self-love. We're going to talk a little bit about self-love, how to build a loving, trusting, strong, empowered, and connected relationship with yourself. The patterns that are blocking you feeling love. And this includes searching for love outside of yourself. So when we're waiting to feel love until someone else loves us, or when how we feel in terms of whether we love ourselves or not is based on what's happening outside of us or what someone else is doing or saying. And then also the ways we withhold love from ourselves, because we do that very often. We hold love back. We hold back the very thing that we want the most. We're going to talk about the power of becoming in tune with your own wants and needs and desires so that you can meet them, and how to get clear on your self-care pillars. That's what I call it, so that you can take the very best care of yourself. I'm going to cover what those are and how to uncover your own. So let's talk about self-love. And it's a huge topic. It's a topic that, again, as I've been mentioning in some of our other classes, I don't expect you to master kind of in a full week, but it's going to open the door for you to think about this more deeply. And my hope is it will allow you to begin prioritizing the practice of self-love and loving yourself and supporting yourself. So, you know, self-love really is about building a loving relationship with ourselves. And this is a moment-to-moment, fluid, ongoing process. I don't think it's a destination we arrive at. I don't think we ever get to a point where we can say, that's it, I love myself. I'm whole and complete. And I think we're continually learning how to love ourselves through various different phases of our journey and in the evolution of our bodies and ourselves. You know, things are constantly changing and we're constantly being challenged to continue to love ourselves through it all, through our mistakes, through our failures, through our stuff ups, through the times that we watch ourselves procrastinate and avoid and run self-sabotaging patterns, and to love our appearance and our body and ourselves as it continues to change and grow through this journey of life. So your practice of self-love will be a constant practice. And I don't think it's something that you ever completely master or say you've arrived at. I think that's the whole point. You are constantly being given opportunities to practice self-love and constantly being challenged to do it. So I feel like it's about building a really good relationship with yourself, a relationship that's built on support, encouragement, empowerment, acceptance, kindness, softness, love, appreciation, and forgiveness. That's just my kind of definition to some extent, but it's about building a relationship with yourself that has the qualities of love infused into it. Think about it, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone else. We very often don't stay in those relationships, or we don't feel good in those relationships if they're not based on the foundation of love. If we have a relationship in our life that is a place where we're often criticized and judged and told that we're wrong, and where people withhold their love from us, where people don't meet our needs, we either won't stay in that relationship or we'll feel very unhappy in that relationship. We'll have to have a conversation to say, hey, this isn't working for me. Oh yeah, we will let it go and we will go somewhere else. And the relationship with ourselves is no different. We need to really think about what we are giving and receiving to ourselves and whether it is feeling good and whether it is allowing us to become our best self or not. So I ask you to think about what self-love means to you, what practicing self-love means to you, because I think we'll all have different definitions. here's a big list of things. I've written down a big list of what, you know, self-love means to me. I think it means listening to yourself, to your innermost thoughts and feelings. Following the signals of your body, being in tune with your body and listening to what your body's communicating with you. Making time for play and fun. Choosing to listen to your inner cheerleader over your inner critic. Making space for self-care. Slowing down. No longer pushing yourself so much. Just understand everything I'm expressing here. It's just where there's a more loving intent behind the action. And so important to look at, where is there a loving intent behind your action or a fear-driven, negative, unloving intent behind your action? And we're just bringing in love to be the guiding force. I believe self-love is about listening to your heart, really honoring what your heart wants. Checking in with yourself before you make decisions, before you say yes or no to anything. Pampering yourself, if that's what you enjoy. Putting yourself at the top of the priority list. Knowing what's important to you and prioritizing that. I think self-love is praising yourself, acknowledging yourself, celebrating yourself, being proud of yourself. It's being authentic. It's having the courage to be the real you, even if you don't know how that's going to be received or perceived by others. I think it is choosing loving thoughts wherever you can. Just even a silly thing. I was just getting ready for this video before and I caught my glimpse of myself in the mirror. And I always immediately, the first thing that comes to my mind when I see myself in the mirror is something critical. But for whatever reason today, I was able to just laugh it off. And I just laughed at the fact that, okay, this is my body. And yes, I'm going to keep always noticing this part of my body, but so what? So what? And I think that's where we invite in love when we go, okay, I can notice that I'm not perfect. Okay, so what? And it doesn't have to become a big spiral of a story that we feed about our unworthiness because of something about us that isn't perfect. Self-love is filling your time with things that make you happy and that make you smile, moving your body in a way that feels good, expressing gratitude, nourishing your body with the things that it deeply needs, like good food and sleep and connection and movement, whatever it is for you. I think self-love is having courageous conversations, speaking your truth, standing up for yourself, saying no, using practices like journaling to tune in and listen to what's going on for you. Sitting in stillness with yourself, just being in your own presence and company is self-love. And I also, you know, I talk a lot about mirror work and it's not everyone's cup of tea. I totally get that. But I find my connection time with myself, looking in my own eyes in the mirror, is a beautiful way to just be with me and experience love within myself. But what makes you feel loved? Honored, supported, adored, respected. Think even about how do you like to receive love from others? When someone demonstrates their love to you, how do you most like to receive it? What makes you feel most loved? Is it through gifts? Is it through kind words? Is it through when someone does something for you? Is it when someone touches you? And when you know the way you like to receive love, you can then love yourself through that way. Because for some people, it's more so about those tactile things. For other people, that stuff doesn't matter. It's more about the time. It's more about the time you have to yourself or for yourself. For some people, that doesn't matter. For other people, it's all about the things you do for yourself. Or for others, it's all about the things that you say. So when you really think about what makes me feel loved, and then how can I be the source of that for myself, that's another way of looking at self-love. Loving yourself is a choice that you make in every moment. Every moment gives you the opportunity to love yourself. And the times that you are most acting in the ways that you consider to be unlovable are your greatest opportunities to experience self-love. Because we all know it's much easier to love yourself when you're, I don't know, looking really good and feeling really good and doing things perfectly. But what about the times when you're not? What about the times where you're feeling lazy or unproductive or you're procrastinating or you're self-sabotaging or you're not taking care of your body, for example. They are the greatest opportunities to practice self-love. Self-love it needs to be unconditional. It really does. And most of the love that we experience both in our relationships with others and within ourselves is conditional love. And it says, I love you more when you're like this, or I love you when you are like this, just in general. Or when you're like that, I'm going to take my love away from you. How often do you do that? We're going to talk about withholding love. How often do you take your love away from yourself because you feel like in that moment you don't deserve it? You've broken one of your rules. No, that wasn't good enough. I'm going to take my love away from you. And maybe the way that you love yourself is based on how your parents loved you. Sometimes that's where we learn our model of love. Might even be something to reflect on. What you learnt about love from your parents. Now, I used to teach that in this course, but I decided to take it out because it's a huge area of work. But it might be something you want to think about. I haven't put it in the workbook, but you might want to think about it. What got you love from mom? What got you love from dad? What did you learn made you lovable? What aspects of yourself seemed more lovable to your parents than other aspects? What parts of yourself now do you think are more lovable than other parts? And this is where we create this very conditional way of viewing love. Love in its essence is not conditional. So what you need to feel loved, I think in any moment changes as well. Not only does the practice of self-love continuously evolve, but I think what you need continuously evolves as well. And that's why self-love is so much about just being tuned into yourself. And I think it's being tuned into yourself so that you can know what you need and you can give it to yourself. And I think that's one of the most loving things you can do. So some days, self-love looks like taking yourself off to that 6 a.m. yoga class or forcing yourself to get out of bed and do something like one of your self-care practices. Or some days it looks like saying no. Other days it looks like saying yes. Sometimes it means pushing yourself if you know that you are being a bit stubborn or a bit resistant. Other times it means letting yourself off the hook and giving yourself a chance to have a break. And it's going to require you to trust yourself. And I think that's going to be one of the hardest things. But it's really trusting what you feel you need and noticing the parts of you that are crying out for more love from you and not withholding that love because you've decided it's unworthy of the love in that moment. Unworthy according to who? Where did we even get our definitions of what makes us lovable and what doesn't? Where did we get the definitions of what makes us good and bad? What's positive and negative? Where did we even get that from? We're very often comparing versus I am who I am, my body is how it is, this is what it is, my life is how it is. Can I just bring love to it? Can I open up this beautiful heart of mine and just bring love to it? And I think when we start to get into the heart energy, that will help you with that. So understand that self-love is not about being perfect. And it doesn't mean that you'll never have bad days. It simply means loving yourself through it and loving yourself through it all. Again, if you find it hard to love yourself, think about how you love another. Think about those people that you love so much that you're so forgiving of their mistakes. You're so accepting of their flaws. You're so non-judgmental about who they choose to be. Yeah, that's the type of energy that you need towards yourself. Self-love is having compassion when you make a mistake. It doesn't judge you. Love doesn't judge you and beat you up. It forgives you. And then it encourages you to reset and refocus and have another go. So I want you just to write in the workbook here a few things that you feel you could do or practice or implement that would show greater love towards yourself. You may draw on some of the things I've shared in the class. You may really think about what practicing self-love means to you and then look at the places where you could bring in a couple of things that would help you experience that feeling a little bit more. So now this relationship with yourself, I want you to think about you and you, like within yourself, there is a relationship that's going on. And what's so funny for me is very often when I start working with coaching clients, this is one of the first things that I ask them. I'm like, tell me about your relationship with yourself. And they're like, what do you mean? And many of them say, I've never thought about that before. I've never thought about the fact that I'm in relationship with myself. Even when you're single, even when you don't have a family or anyone around you, you're always in a relationship. You're in a relationship with yourself all the time. It is the most important relationship you will ever have. It is the one relationship you're going to have from when you're born until you die. Probably the only one. I doubt your parents will outlive you, fingers crossed. I actually don't know what I mean by that, but you know what I mean? Let's hope that you live a long, healthy life. But if you do, it means that people will come and go, but there will always be you. There will always be you. And, you know, I've said this in so many classes, but it's difficult for you to thrive without that loving relationship behind you, without that relationship of support and encouragement and belief. And whether right now you're just like, I have no idea how to love myself, I don't even know where to begin, I want you to decide that you're going to learn. I'm going to learn how to love myself. Maybe that's my first intention. I want to learn what loving myself looks like. I want to learn what loving myself feels like. I want to learn how to work on this relationship with myself. I want to learn how to improve this. I want to learn how to be my own best friend. I want to learn how to be my own cheerleader. I want to learn how to be like the loving partner that I've never got to have. I want to learn how to be the loving parent I never got to have. You can be that for yourself. And that's when you become so whole. That's when you become the source of what you're seeking. Doesn't mean you don't need other people. But wow, it takes the pressure off them. So you're always in relationship with yourself. And I want you to see this. I want this to start to become your biggest project, your main focus. Because you take it everywhere you go. You take you everywhere you go. So it's easy to make work more important and family more important and money more important. But ultimately, the only way you can experience those things is with you. You take you everywhere. So why not make it a big, beautiful project to work on? The quality of the relationship you have with yourself most definitely affects the quality of relationship you have with everything. The quality of relationship with yourself affects your relationship with money, affects your relationship with your friends, your children, your partner, affects your relationship with your family, affects your relationship with the world, really. And we know this, but we show up as such a better version of ourselves when we are loved. I mean, how much do you know, like, when you fall in love with someone? Aren't you suddenly just on cloud nine when you have this new person that comes in who loves you deeply? And you feel so good about yourself and you're just like, oh, you know, everything's easy to handle and I'm happy all the time. And love does that to us. Love makes us feel good. It's so important to get to work on this. So what is your relationship like with yourself at the moment? Take a look at it. Now, this is similar to what I had on my list before, but let me talk about it with you. My relationship with myself, I think it encompasses things like how I talk to myself, what I believe to be true, my beliefs. It encompasses how you feel about yourself, how in tune you are with your own wants and needs, how you support yourself through challenges and stresses. How do you support yourself through challenges and stresses? How do you support yourself when you're feeling tired? What do you do when you have something that you want or need? How do you care for yourself? Do you know what makes you happy? Do you know how to make yourself happy? How do you handle setbacks and failures? How do you talk to yourself when something like that happens? Are you honoring your inner voice? So this is where we, you know, we've sort of talked about this before, but again, you're having your own back. You're becoming your own best friend. You're your own coach, your own parent, your own partner. You are that for yourself. This is really how I see it. And again, like I said, doesn't mean you don't need other people, but you do whatever you can to be that for yourself first and foremost. And I think we want this relationship built on the foundation of love. We really do. And I think it's a choice. And I know some of you have been finding bringing in love to the relationship with yourself difficult, whether it's been to your body. And yes, it's okay if it's difficult at the beginning because it's unfamiliar and it's new. But I think it's a choice, still, like we've touched on in module one, to intercept anything that you notice that is not loving and to love yourself so fiercely that you won't tolerate that from yourself anymore. And you'll raise the standards of what you want to receive from yourself. So, how do you want to strengthen your relationship with yourself? What would it mean to you to have a stronger relationship with yourself, to improve this relationship, to feel more connected, more in tune, more loving, more kind, more gentle, more forgiving, more accepting? What are 3 to 5 ways that you could work on strengthening and improving this relationship with yourself? I want you to think about that. And they may be your beginning points. You know, honestly, even the fact that you're here, even the fact that you're showing up for this coursework is showing that you have got a relationship with yourself where you're listening to what you need and you're doing what you can. You're investing money to look after that relationship. You're doing what you can to look after yourself. So please acknowledge yourself for that. Sometimes even when we are loving ourselves, we're not acknowledging ourselves for just what a beautiful job we're doing at taking care of ourselves and loving ourselves. We always focus on what we're not doing enough of. Can you focus more on what you are doing? That in itself is self-love too. So I want to talk a little bit here about the external sort of search for love. Hang on a minute, let me just notice here my notes. You know, before I get into that, another additional part of self-love, and we've sort of talked about this before, but is self-connection. And I think the process of what will help you build a relationship with yourself is maybe beginning just with the prioritizing of connecting with yourself. Maybe that's where we start. I think sometimes self-love feels too big, but self-connection, I think we can do. So maybe even if the word self-love feels too big, put in like self-connection or self-acceptance can be nice as well. But really think about what connects you in with you. And we've been talking about this a lot already. But what makes you feel connected to you? Because I think anytime you can pull your attention off the external and bring your focus back into you, you're connecting with yourself in that moment. And I think by now you would have developed and heard a lot of practices that help you connect in with you. But maybe that's simply where you begin, is just to spend more time connecting with yourself and making the time you spend with yourself a priority, if that feels like it's not a priority right now. And allocating time to those things that feel like they give you a chance to connect in with you. You know, simple things like the things I've already touched on, like taking a breath and just coming back into you. That's self-love. Everything you've begun practicing from this course is self-love. It's you loving yourself. It's you wanting to take care of yourself. So just think about, again, those little things that just give you a chance to connect in and be with you, because I don't want us to overcomplicate self-love either, of being like, I've got to suddenly fall in love with everything about me. I think it's more just becoming more in tune and connecting more deeply with your thoughts and feelings, listening more deeply to yourself, not judging what arises, allowing maybe yourself to be where you are and who you are right now, but also honoring the desire for change and the knowing that you want more. And that's just you all, just like think about any time you're pulling your attention back into you, you're really connecting in with you. So I want you to notice the places that you actually look externally for love. We move on here in the workbook now to talking about looking externally for love. Because notice when you, self-love is when I turn my focus inwards, I connect in with me and I find and feel for what do I need to feel love in this moment? What do I need to feel soothed, to feel like I'm okay, to feel good about myself, to feel happy, to feel taken care of, to feel attended to? But I want you to notice, where do you look externally for love? Whose love, approval, acceptance, or validation do you find yourself wanting the most, and why? And this question's a big question. And this is an opportunity to look at sometimes where we skip over our own self-love and skip over being that for ourselves, and we want and need someone else to give us something that maybe we're not giving ourselves, that maybe we haven't taken the time to create and fill up within ourselves, and we're wanting someone else to kind of fill that void. And again, please, I'm saying it over and over, but I'm not meaning to imply we don't need love from other people or acceptance or that other people aren't important. But I do want you to notice, where is it the most that someone's love, approval, acceptance, or validation? You might even break it down into separate areas, or there may be a few people. Where do you seek for that the most? Where do you want and need that the most? And what's your strategy for getting this love? Because we have strategies that we run to get what we need. Who do you think you need to be, or how do you think you need to act, or what do you think you need to achieve sometimes to gain this love? Now, this might be a really confronting question, but I just encourage you to sit with it a little bit. You know, for my dad, I gained a lot of my love from him through what I achieved, through being smart, through being responsible, through being the good girl, and through my academic results. From my mum, I actually feel like I received most of my love and praise and approval from her when I was helping her. So my mum used to sort of come to me for counsel a lot, and I would listen to her and listen to her problems. Whenever I felt like I could help my mum, then that was the way I got my love from her. She never outwardly really praised me or wasn't affectionate and touchy and wasn't overflowing with positive words, but I got her attention and connection, and I got positive feedback from her when I was helping her. So it's just interesting to look at, and maybe with your partners, or maybe it's at work or with your parents, like just notice who you think you need to be and how you think you need to act to get this love, because sometimes we've learned that certain ways of being and acting are more lovable than other ways. And this sets up our model of the world around love. And sometimes that means, so for me, for example, if I learned that I'm most lovable when I'm achieving or when I'm helping people, I'm going to push myself to do more of that, to achieve and to help people, because I believe that's what gets me love. Whereas say when I'm doing something like, I don't know, not achieving anything, not helping anyone, but I'm just doing something nice for myself. It's taken me a long time to get to a point where I felt like that was okay to do that. But I don't have any model set up that tells me that's, I get anything from that. That doesn't make me more valuable, more worthy, more lovable, more, doesn't get me anything. And so it's easy for us to think that those things are a bit of a waste of time, or to think that they're not getting us anywhere because they're not part of the model we have set up that gets us love. I hope that makes sense. This is kind of a big area where I'm just opening the lid on it, just getting you to reflect on it a little bit. What you typically think, both in yourself actually, also look at what parts of yourself do you think are more lovable? Is it the part of you that when you're achieving and getting stuff done, or when you're helping your family out or helping people out, or when you're clean and on top of all the clean and organized and on top of all the housework, when you're perfect? That's a big one. Sometimes we feel like we were only praised when we did things perfectly, and so now we only love ourselves when we do things perfectly. So it's just interesting to look at. And then also notice the parts of yourself that you think, this is actually interesting for me as well, because I wasn't ever praised as much for my creativity or my spirituality or what made me really unique as Connie. And so I carried a lot of shame around that when I was younger, and I hid it away a lot because no one ever told me how beautiful and amazing it was. I didn't think it was that good. So it's taken now me loving the parts of myself that maybe other people didn't always tell me were lovable when I was younger. I've had to learn how to love them now, see why they're beautiful and see why they're powerful and see why they're amazing. And again, this is inner child work sometimes. This is reflecting on what were you like as a child and what parts of yourself, yeah, got the most love and what parts of you didn't. And the parts of you that didn't need love from you now. So I want you to just to, where do I take you in the workbook? Okay. I want you to, next time you notice one of your external sort of seeking for love patterns play out, I'm trying to think of one of mine at the moment, actually, so I can give you an example. But what I ask you to do is, next time this plays out for you, I want you to notice it. I want you to notice when you're seeking someone's love or praise or validation or approval or recognition, or even belonging is another one as well. And ask yourself, what am I seeking from them? Ask yourself, have I been giving this to myself? And how can I give this to myself? I think something that I used to really seek out, I'm just trying to think of an example, was I think validation was a big one for me. Validation that what I was doing was good and right. And this particularly would happen when I started my work in the world. If I put something out into the world and I didn't get the likes back, or I didn't get heaps of comments, or people didn't tell me it was amazing, I began questioning whether it was any good. And so we're sort of seeking that external validation a lot, aren't we? When we are doing things or putting things out to the world and we're waiting to see, are other people going to say that it's good? So what we're seeking is validation. What we're seeking is the acknowledgement that we've done something well. What we're seeking is to be told, good job, that was valuable, that was fantastic, I loved it. That's what we're looking for. And ask yourself, have I been giving that to myself? So what I noticed was, I'd give it to myself at the beginning, but if I didn't get it back from other people, then I would take it away from myself. And I'd instead begin saying, it wasn't good enough, Connie, people didn't like it, that wasn't valuable. So I was actually withholding from myself the very thing I was seeking. So then you can ask, how can I give that to myself? And that's when I recognized, okay, I need to learn how to celebrate and validate and make right everything I do, even if sometimes people love it, sometimes people don't. And that's simply through consciously working on my self-talk. So say I put something out on Instagram and people don't like it. Well, you know, say it doesn't get as many likes as I would normally get. Like, that's how I would say people don't like it. That's my measure. But a lot of us, you know, have different measures. But say that happened. I would be using my own self-talk, and I often do this, just to be like, Connie, it was a beautiful share. You really felt to share it. You really liked the image. You really liked the caption. That's it. That's all you need to do, is really like and see the value in what you shared and what you did. And some people will like it, some people won't. And so it's been my own conscious choice then to talk myself into a space of feeling good about what I've done, versus tearing myself down. So I just want you to notice that situation next time you find yourself needing whatever. Oh, here's the postman again, always buzzing my door when I'm in the middle of a call. Okay, he's probably going to buzz again. I apologize about this, my friends. So the next time this plays out, I just want you to catch it. And I just want you to notice where your tendency is to not feel good about something, or not love yourself, or not approve of something you've done, or not validate yourself, or not feel that you're good enough until you get that from someone else. And I want you to see how you can be that for yourself. Okay, he didn't buzz again. That was good. Okay, the other thing I want you to look at here is, what parts of yourself do you withhold love from? Because this is, again, we take the love away that we are seeking. What parts of yourself do you label as being not lovable? And why? And then you withhold the very love from yourself that you were wanting more than anything. I want you to notice that part. And where are you carrying guilt and shame? And where do you make yourself wrong? These are big questions that I've put in here. But I want you to look at these places where the very love that you're seeking, you're not able to experience because you're withholding love. You're carrying guilt and shame around something that you have decided is wrong about you, or something that you've done wrong. And then I also want you to identify what parts of yourself you make wrong. So these parts of yourself are just as they are. And then you, through your perception of them, make them wrong. And the reason I get you to do that, that's a bit of a confronting page, but the reason I get you to do that is because I then want you to move on to writing a letter. And I want you to write a letter that says, Dear, insert your name, I am sorry for. And this will be the part where you say, I'm sorry for withholding love for this or that. I'm sorry for making this part of you wrong. I'm sorry for judging this part of you as being unlovable. I'm sorry for criticizing you. I'm sorry for saying that you're not good enough. I'm sorry for making you wrong for that thing you did 5 years ago. Then I want you to go into, I forgive you for. If you were to practice forgiveness of yourself, this is an opportunity to forgive yourself for any choice that you've made, maybe at a time in the past when you didn't make the best choices, or forgive yourself for what has brought you to this place now, choices that you've made in the past leading up to this point. Forgiving yourself for the way you've perhaps been with yourself. Because there's no point continuing to hold this against you. Forgive yourself for it and then reset and choose to do it differently moving forward. And then I want you to say, I love you because. And I want you to see if you can find some reasons that you love yourself. Maybe it could be because you're just doing the very best that you can. You know, because you showed up in this course. I love you because at least you're doing this work and 95% of the population are not doing this work. I love you because you're a beautiful, kind-hearted, sensitive, gorgeous soul. Because you're a really thoughtful, caring, kind person, you know, because you are a wonderful mother, because you're a really supportive partner, because you give your best that you can to your work. This is why I love you. So those questions that in that letter to yourself is an opportunity to bring in apologies, forgiveness, and love. Because that helps us help heal these places where we're withholding love and carrying guilt and shame and making ourselves wrong. And this is where you get the opportunity to become the source of what you're seeking. And we will never feel full just from getting it from the external. Yes, we can receive from the external. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's like a bucket with holes in it. And that person can keep giving you love and you just won't feel it because your bucket has holes in it. And so we need to plug up the holes. And so you filling yourself up from within is knowing that how you feel, we've talked about this before, is within your control. The way you think about yourself is within your control. If you really want to, you can choose a more loving thought. If you really want to, you can learn how to forgive yourself and be kind to yourself and support yourself. You can look for the places where you put power in other people and need other people to be something for you that you're not willing to be for yourself. And this is how we fill ourselves up from within. We become the source of the love that we're seeking. We notice what we're seeking and we work to give that to ourselves. We prioritize our self-care. We listen to our needs. We make time for what's good and important to us. We monitor our self-talk. And it can just mean that, it takes the pressure off other people having to act in ways to create these feelings for us. And I think I've said this before, you know, but instead they just mirror back what we've already created inside of us. So I want you to look at your inner, I call this like your inner love cup, your inner love tank. We're talking about filling up. And I want you to know what it feels like when this inner love tank, this inner self-care tank is running on low, and then what it feels like when it's filled up. So what it feels like when your reserves are running low and what it feels like when your reserves are filled up. And whenever we are seeking externally from a place of inner emptiness, we're never going to feel full. It doesn't matter what you're seeking for. So we need to know what are the indicators, because your body's always communicating to you. As I said in our last class, your body's always communicating. What are the indicators that your inner reserves are running low? You know, it might be things like, I know my warning signs. My warning signs are I get really snappy and irritable. I feel tired. I feel angry and really resentful. I lose the desire to connect with others. I just want to shut down and go really internal. I feel sad. I'll cry easily. I feel empty. I feel lost. I feel like, what's the point in anything? I just want to give up. Or sometimes I become overly attached and clingy to partners and to other people and to connection from other people and other people's attention. So there's some of my warning signs that something's within me is running low. My reserves are running low and I need to pay attention to what's going on for me. So notice those indicators. They're very powerful when you can see what they are. And I want you to think, what quick hit or short-term fix do you normally reach for when you notice these indicators? This might be like, if I'm feeling lonely, I might go on social media and try to get some quick hit of connection or a like or whatever it is. If I'm got my reserves are running low, wrong word starting with I. If my reserves are running low, I might reach out to that ex who I know I don't really want to be in contact with, but I just want a little hit of attention. You might reach for the chocolate biscuits. You might reach for online shopping. But when you know what it looks like and feels like when your inner love reserves are running low, and then when you know what you try to reach for as a quick fix, that's not actually going to create the lasting feeling that you want. How do you instead want to be loving, supporting, and nourishing yourself when you notice your inner reserves are running low? And this is where we, you know, I know we've harped on about it, but repetition is the way we learn, right? So this is where we say, okay, inner reserves are running low. I'm feeling snappy. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling exhausted. I really just want to go like and eat a whole lot of food. Instead, could I have a big glass of water? So at least I'm, you know, putting something in my belly and maybe I'm just dehydrated. Could I go home and just have a hot shower and then just rub some coconut oil onto my body, for example? Or could I go home and put on my Slow Down and Tune In playlist and light a candle? Could I go home and, do I want to jump on the phone to a friend actually and just talk something out that's going on for me? Can I go home and ask hubby to mind the kids for half an hour so I can run a bath or whatever it is? There are other ways. You know, this is all the self-awareness. And I think a relationship with yourself is all about self-awareness. It's about knowing yourself, knowing what's going on for you, and then having the ways to meet those needs. Okay. So, my loves, our final little part here is about self-care pillars. And this is going to sound like a really simple way to talk about self-care, but I uncovered this a little while ago when I realized there was 3 to 5 just foundations that needed to be in place for me to feel good, say in a week. And this came from, I remember one time when I was just feeling off, and you know, you go through those phases. It wasn't one time, it was a period of time. I was feeling really off and I couldn't understand why. And I remember one day I just began really thinking, let me go back to the basics, the foundations. What are the basics of just what gets me feeling good? And I realized it was sleep, movement, good food, connection, and stillness and space. 5 really simple things. And what I realized was when each of those 5 things wasn't in my week, I wouldn't feel good. And so it was really easy for me then moving forward that if I was ever feeling off, I would check in with each of my self-care pillars and I would ask myself, have I done all 5 of these this week? Now, the reason I call it pillars is because I look at it like a table and I feel like, let's imagine a table with 5 legs. Can you bear with me on that? You could have 4, you could have 3 even, but like a table legs, holding the table up. You're the table. This is you feeling grounded, happy, calm, content. And I want you to think about the table legs that keep you there. Because if one of those table legs falls, your table's going to go wonky, isn't it? So I actually drew this like a table, and I've got a lot of my clients to do this. My table is me feeling grounded, balanced, happy, whole, content. And my pillars are the things that help me do that. And again, I want you to keep these really broad. So this isn't like, oh, my journaling practice, my meditation practice, going to 1 yoga class a week. I want it really broad. So like I said, mine were, I can't remember the order I said them in, movement. Movement as a broad category is one of my self-care pillars. And I know if I go a whole week and I haven't moved my body in ways that feel good, I'm going to feel off. Under that category of movement can be anything. A morning walk, a coastal walk, a beach run, yoga, gym, whatever, dancing in my bedroom, but movement is one of my key pillars. The next is food and the way that I eat and nourish my body. And I know that every other pillar can be great, but if my diet is off, I'm going to feel it. When I don't eat in the way that I know my body thrives in, I feel it. So my second category is food. You can call it nourishment. You can call it how you eat, whatever you want to call it. But I've recognized that is a key pillar in what keeps me feeling good. The third is sleep. And like most of us, I don't function very well without much sleep. And so again, all the key pillars can be there. But if I'm not sleeping, I'm not going to feel good. The fourth was connection. So connection for me is, have I gone a whole week and not seen my friends, not talked to people, not connected with my family? You know, if connection is one of your key pillars, it's going to be really important for you that you spend time with the people who are important to you. And then the fifth was some form of stillness and space. And so again, I can have all those things. I can have the movement, the exercise, the people, the sleep. But if I haven't had any time for myself that week to just be still and have space, I'm going to feel off. So what I recognized was that with this table and my key pillars was, whenever I'm not feeling good, I can just reflect on that week and say which of my pillars was off this week. Which one, you know, what percentage are each of them sitting at? Which one's sitting at 100%, which one's down at 10%? And again, I think it's nice to keep it broad, because that way it's not like, oh, did I go to the yoga class, go to the gym, work out with my weights, do this. It's just as simple as, did I get enough movement this week? Did I get enough sleep? Did I get enough food? Good food. Did I get enough of my people time? They may not be your pillars. Your pillars may be more around, I don't know, play. Maybe play is a key one for you. Maybe nature is one for you. Maybe, what else could be in there? Most people that I've talked to, they're the sort of most common ones. But stillness may not be one for you. Connection time may not be one for you. But I want you to think about it, and think about it in broad categories like that. So what I ask you to do is choose 3 to 5 self-care pillars, self-reflecting on what you know is the key things for you to feel good. And I ask you, how will you practice implementing this and integrating this over the next week? So you might look really broadly at, and again, set yourself up for success. What can I look at in each key pillar? Have I, you know, with connection, have I got at least one social connection booked in for next week? Or have I got a date night scheduled with my partner? Have I got enough time with my partner next week or my family? Food. Am I going to be able to eat the way I want to eat next week? Do I need to do some food prep? Do I have a fridge full of food? Is that part of it all set up? Movement. What's the one way I'm going to move my body next week? Even if I start with one way, at least I'm getting some energy put into that pillar. Sleep. That is, you know, for some of us, not 100% in our control if you've got different things going on, but how can I support myself to get the sleep I'm going to need? If I know I'm going to have a late night this night, I better make sure I'm not going to schedule something the next day or the next evening so that I can get an early night that night. You can plan your week that way once you know your key pillars. And stillness. Is my week completely full, or do I have space for myself this week? If not, what do I need to say no to so that I can have space for me? So work with that. That has just, it's been a practice that's really helped me with self-care, to simplify it, to broaden it, to always be able to know if I'm feeling off. It's one of my key pillars has not been getting attention. And so that's really worked for me. Draw it like a table if you want. I actually encourage my clients to draw it like a table and stick it up where they can see it. And then, you know, color in even the legs to show what percentage, how full each of them are feeling, how much each of those pillars has been nourished. And you might even write out for each pillar what helps you meet that. So under movement, what does that mean? Under connection, what does that mean? Under stillness, what does that mean? If they're your pillars, you might have different ones to meet. Okay. So let me see if there's anything else I want to share with you. You know, this whole course and this whole journey is about living more deeply in tune with yourself. That's ultimately what I'm here to teach in this course. and anything that you can do from what you're learning that will help you get more in tune with you, get more in tune with what's going on for you, what you're feeling, what you're needing, where you're withholding love from yourself, where you're not tuning into to what you're needing, where you're carrying criticism, judgment against yourself, where you're not choosing to invite in love as a way of relating to yourself. This is all I want you to be doing through this course, is just becoming more and more aware. And wherever you can, at every opportunity, inviting in more love. Choosing to treat yourself the way you would treat the people in your life that you most care about. Really distilling through the thoughts going on in your mind, the way you're speaking to yourself, and intercepting it and saying, I'm just not going to tolerate this from myself anymore. I deserve so much better. And I want to learn how to be the source of the love that I'm seeking. And whenever I notice myself looking to other people to give that to me, I'm going to ask, what is it that I'm seeking and how can I be that for myself? So these are big areas of work. And again, I don't expect you to master it overnight, but I just want you to be creating deeper awareness around this and prioritizing the relationship between you and you as a legitimate, real relationship that needs nurturing and care and attention. And, you know, enjoy getting to know you. Just like if you were dating someone new, you would love getting to know them. Enjoy getting to know you. Enjoy discovering things about yourself, even if you don't love everything that you see. This is a journey of self-discovery. And that is one of the key ways we're building a relationship with ourselves. Just getting to know us and what makes us tick and how we work and why we do what we do. And then seeing if we can make more empowering choices every time we discover something that isn't working well for us. So this week, where are our practices at? Become more aware of what self-like looks like to you and feels like to you. Use the exercises we've covered to explore in yourself how you want to be practicing self-love and what will help you feel loved. Knowing that every week it's going to be different, every day it's going to be different. Be willing to modify and adapt your approach to meet what you're needing. I ask you to look at some mirror work, simply sitting in front of the mirror, holding your own gaze, your own eyes, staring deep into your own eyes, being with yourself, being intimate with yourself. Bring awareness to your relationship with yourself. What is this relationship like? How do you support yourself? How do you believe in yourself or not? What do you do when you have a setback? What do you do when you have a failure? What do you do when you're tired? What do you do when you've noticed something about yourself that you don't love? These are all opportunities to shift out of shame, guilt, judgment, blame, and negativity and move into more compassion, gentleness, softness, kindness, and love. And maybe you write those loving words out in a post-it note and you ask yourself every day, how can I practice these words? How can I be more kind? How can I be more loving? How can I be more gentle? How can I be more accepting? What do I need to forgive myself for? How can I be more supportive? How can I be more encouraging? What parts of me need some validation? What parts of me need some acceptance? What parts of me need more love? What parts of me need more attention? What parts of me need to be told that they're right and good and valuable? Focus on being the source of what you seek. Just notice these places. Maybe you focus on one key relationship where you're often looking outside of yourself. Ask yourself what you're seeking, what you're wanting and needing, what you're wanting to feel from this person. And ask yourself how you can be that for yourself and give that to yourself. And then map out your self-care pillars. I would love to hear how you go with that exercise, because I found that really valuable and a lot of my clients have found it valuable too, to really write it out like the table with the table legs and get clear on those categories and practice that for a couple of weeks and let us know in the group how you go. So that is the end of our month of tuning in. I mean, this whole course really is about tuning in, but next month we're going to talk a lot about being guided. So in the next week, you have one of the integration classes before we step into module 3. You have an integration week, and I think it's going to be a much needed week for a lot of you, because these three classes that we've covered in module 2 are big, and it's going to be a beautiful opportunity next week to sit with yourself and reflect and integrate and just take out what really works for you and what you want to continue practicing and integrating as we move forward. I'm looking at the time and I realize I've run for a while. So thank you for watching this whole class. I hope it has been supportive for you. And I will talk to you next time. Bye.